Hey, everybody, welcome. We are talking catfishing and more today in the studios. Captain Eddie White and Eric Braunberger coming out of Montana. They made the trip here to come into Grand Forks Best Source. How about that, guys? Be talking about the Shields Boundary Battle Catfish Tournament and a whole bunch of good stuff. By the way, your show today brought to you by Burgraff's Ace Hardware and Paint in Grand Forks, the helpful place on South Washington Street and the corner of the Grand Cities Mall. You know, Ace Hardware is your lawn and garden and grilling headquarters. They've got over 50 grills assembled and ready to go. You know what? They even offer free in-town delivery. Weber, Traeger, Big Green Egg, Napoleon Grills, you know, Ace Hardware and Paint, they've got it all. In fact, Grand Forks Best Source, I was in there again today. We get almost everything at Ace. You can see their full list of department and store services at acehardware.com or call 701-738-0455. Burgraff's Ace Hardware and Paint. Ace, the helpful place. Have any questions or comments for these two fishing professionals? Feel free to call or text our number 701-213-0863. Again, 701-213-0863. And before we get too much further into the show, it is time for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Why are fish smarter than people? Why are fish smarter than people? Ever see a fish spend a fortune trying to catch a human?
That was pretty good.
That was god-awful, wasn't it? I'm going to start on my left. Eric, welcome.
Thanks.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Get good sleep last night?
I did, finally, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I live in Miles City, Montana. I own a power sports repair shop there.
Okay.
Wife and kids.
Okay, so you work on boats.
Mostly side-by-sides and four-wheelers, really.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure, okay. Yeah. I'd have to have you take a look at mine. Eddie White, you've been on the show before. How are you, brother?
What's happening?
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. I found out the other day you guys were coming. I found out late last week. And, of course, I called you right away. And I was hoping you were going to end up flopping out at our house. And you guys are. And one good thing about you guys coming up is I eat really well. I'm still full from last night. I'm glad you guys got some good sleep. I'm glad the dogs didn't bother you too much. But I want to ask you, first off, how did you get involved in fishing, catfishing, whatever kind of fishing? I mean, growing up in Montana, I get that. But did you did your dad, grandpa, or anybody take you fishing when you were a kid, or you just kind of stumbled upon it on yourself?
I love all fishing, don't get me wrong, but in the Yellowstone there, I mean, it's a great fishery, but you can't fish for, you know, all the other fish all year round.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really nothing that fights like a catfish, oh, yeah. You know? And I mean, just started tournament fishing them, you know? I mean, it's really the only tournaments you can go there and, you know, unless you go to the lake, mm-hmm. You know, but I'm not a lake guy. It's all about the river, you know?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
Yeah.
How'd you get your start fishing?
Oh, I've been fishing since I can remember. I have a picture of myself at 2 years old with my first catfish.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two years old.
Yeah.
See, I grew up, I was a walleye guy. I had a great uncle that had a resort up in Ontario. So I knew my way around a tiller boat when I was about 8 years old, and I used to get to go out on my own. They'd let me go, but then I moved to Grand Forks, and I had people like, you got to try catfishing. And I'm like, why would I want to even try catfishing? First time I went, my first fish I caught was about 18, 19 pounds, and I was hooked. I mean, I was hooked. Next thing you know, I bought a boat.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I get a different boat. And the next thing you know, you're fishing tournaments and league and all that kind of stuff. But do you do more than just fish? I mean, we know what Eric does, but what do you do on the side too?
I have several companies. I'm a guide, mm-hmm. I'm a captain. So I do guiding for fishing, not just catfishing, but also walleye and smallmouth. And then I, for those that understand, I chase Montana agates.
Yeah.
And I buy and sell those. I cut them, I polish them, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I own a rod company as well, Warrior Cat Rods, warriorfishingrods.com if you want to check it out. And then I own a jersey company as well, which we all have on in this room currently.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
So I have several different companies I run all at the same time, and I try to keep it to where I can do most of it online so I can travel. You know, mm-hmm. when I'm on the road, I can still work and make money. And And that's one of the things a lot of people don't understand is they say I have a pretty easy life, but they don't see the background of everything that I'm doing on the road. Stopping at bait shops to try to sell rods, sitting on my computer in the morning trying to get jerseys done, you know, and then I go fish and then I do the same thing at night. So there's a lot more to it than just the glam.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when I ordered my jerseys for my partner and myself last year, and I wore it into one of my sponsors, and right away he said, "You got to get me two of those." Same thing, just different names. Then I went over to another sponsor, and he goes, "You got to get me one of those." And your jerseys are pretty much all over the place, your apparel.
It is. It's nationwide. Mm-hmm. It's kind of taken a slow toll here recently because a lot of people aren't traveling as much as they were, obviously, with the gas prices, which is fine. I mean, any business goes up, goes down. So right now, we're kind of at the downhill slide, but we'll work our way back up again once people start getting back on the road.
Now, out in Montana, you guys are kind of going through the same thing that we've been going through here all year, all spring and summer, but Montana's flooding pretty bad, and I'm guessing, can you even get out if you wanted to?
No, they shut the ramps down. We had record high flows this year. Mm-hmm. You know, I if anyone watches news or looks at Facebook, you'll see Yellowstone National Park got hit pretty bad, and all that water ends up where we are at some point.
Sure.
And Eric was lucky enough to get out in one of the places. There's a spot there when the water comes up, you'll catch 10, 12, 13 pound fish all day long. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get worn out.
I mean, 2-3 hours into it, you're done.
Really?
I mean, it's... You better bring a lot of bait, and you better be ready to reel in a lot of fish.
Now, you talk about bringing a lot of bait. You guys showed up at my house 5:30 in the morning yesterday with a freezer in the back of the pickup. Had the generator going until we got it out. But you guys, you travel well. I mean, you come well prepared, don't you?
Yes, we do. Yeah, I mean, we pretty much have doubles of everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have that kind of luck. We don't take those chances anymore.
We learned the hard way, you know. Eric and I, we fished against each other for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And without sounding arrogant, we've won a lot of tournaments at home. So we decided that we were going to team up and see what we could do, not only at home, but outside of home.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done rather well together. You know, we understand each other. There's no arguing. There's no moaning. I mean,
half the time we're not even talking.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't have to tell him pull the anchor. Anchor's already in the boat.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's little things like that that make a big difference. Having previous partners, maintenance on boats, that's a huge thing, especially when you travel. I'm lucky because he's a boat mechanic.
Sure.
So with him being my partner, you know, a 50-50 split is only good if you're 50% of the package.
Right. Yep.
And Eric is more than 50% of the package because he makes sure that the boat's ready to go. There's wheel bearings in there, and he also contributes to that. So when it comes down to winning money, man, I mean, here's 50% is easy to give away.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Sure. Yeah.
Compared to having partners where it's your truck, it's your boat, it's your motor, it's all this
your
stuff.
Anchor, your everything.
Yeah, right. They get in the boat and they just want to check, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. And you know, the thing is too, you talk about teamwork, to know how your partner works in a boat, because even if you're moving from one spot to another, there's still bait to be cut. There's still this to be done and that to be done. You can tell, okay, if we're gonna reel up and move, you know, you get your rods in, that guy's going to do the anchor, you're going to get things going. But it is so much smoother when you've worked or fished with the same partner, and you get to know each other's ins and outs and their isms and all that kind of stuff. But and then, you know, it can be tough because you can be out in a boat, it could be pouring rain, it could be hailing, it could be 110 degrees, and the fish might not be biting, but it's easy to start to get crabby in a fishing tournament, isn't it?
Well, we don't.
I mean, believe it or not,
we just start pounding water, man. The fish are somewhere. You know, one thing I realized, I think I've been tournament fishing about 10 years now, and one of the things I realized real quick is there's always someone that figures it out, so how do you be that guy?
Right, right.
And we don't let that get to us. We start going, all right, what haven't we done? What can we do different? I mean, I could sit right next to you. You could be catching fish, and I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about in two different boats. Well, obviously, what you're doing is working. What do we do to make it work for us?
Sure, sure. Now, why do you guys keep coming back to Grand Forks?
I mean, why I chose this tournament is just there was a big month span here, you know, and we're addicted to those tournaments. You know, we love chasing them and the big fish, you know.
Yeah, what are the fish like here compared to what you catch in Montana as far as the channel cats go?
Our average fish is probably 6 to 7 pounds. That would be an average for a weigh-in. So, you know, a five a five fish bass is anywhere between 30 and 40 pounds. 40 pounds is a really good day.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you know, you're catching three fish, you're coming in with 30 pounds, and that's one under.
Yeah.
One under 24 inches.
Right.
So, I mean, realistically, one of the reasons why we are driven to come here is because you can hang hogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when you guys first came up here a few years back and we were telling you about Drayton. And I know you guys went up and spent a day up in Drayton. You might have even spent more than a day up there. But how fun is that? When you get that lucky shot where you can't do any wrong. And it seems like, you know, out of the three best fishing trips I've ever had for cats, two of them were in Drayton. But it was just one after another after another. And you try to tell, I would imagine you tell people back home about it, and they probably just go, yeah, right. Yeah, sure it is. But you got to like it up here because you keep coming back.
Well, we'd have to talk to people. We'd have to talk to people at home for them to understand. We've gained a pretty big following of haters, you know, because
that happens when you win.
Right. Absolutely. It's not just winning, but the opportunity to also get on the road, you know, and our sponsors are a huge part of that. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do a lot of what we do. And it's unfortunate because we have no problem sharing our knowledge. We don't have an issue telling you where we found fish, what we did, how we did it. People are starting to come around now, I think.
Yep,
you know, a lot of people that didn't talk to us in the past are starting to talk to us again, which is nice.
Yep.
We never wanted to create animosity.
Sure.
Because we're good doesn't mean that we're mean.
Yeah.
You know, I've met plenty of them. I don't want to be that guy.
Right. And you know, we get a lot of race car drivers on here and stuff, and they talk about racing families as they travel around the country or the Midwest. But you kind of get to get to know people. I know you guys have both been invited to numerous spots in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks for suppers and drinks and all that kind of stuff. But do you find that the fishing family, for the most part, they're a good group of guys?
I know people all over the country. You know, I can call people all over the country and say, hey, I'm coming to town. And they say, all right, show up. Some of the best people I've met definitely have been through fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I know we had some good pictures, we've had a lot of fun over the years, but we got some pictures, Katie, here. I have no idea what these pictures are going to be, but let's take a peek here. Okay. Did you win any money in that one?
Yeah, recently.
That was the hardest tournament I think we've ever fished.
I can make it short, but I got a long story about that if you want to hear it.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So the Milk River up in Montana is a very small river. It's deep like the Red, but it's probably as wide, maybe
as wide as this studio.
Oh wow,
it's not
like a creek,
right?
No, it's the creek. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's an 80-mile stretch that you can fish on this river. And so we went up there and we pre-fished and we struggled. I mean, it was hard. We
caught four fish for 3 days we were up there. Yeah. We caught three fish.
Wow.
And so we had to come up with a game plan. You know, you have to figure out what you got to do to win this tournament. We ended up in third, which we were happy with. But what we ended up doing is the reservation. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with Indian reservations, but Montana, we have quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a buddy, Will, and he's part of the Assiniboine Sioux. Well, his family owns a lot of the land on the reservation where the Milk runs through.
Okay.
So we had at this tournament, you can put your boat in before, but you still have to show up. It was about 20 miles away at the weigh-in site for the pre-rules meeting. They release you all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we were
because they allow bank fishermen.
Oh,
they
sure.
And when we were pre-fishing, the Milk dumps into the mouth of Missouri. There was only, I'd say, 4 miles maximum that you could run this river from the mouth of the Missouri until there's a gravel bar you couldn't get over. And we run jet boats. We can go through 3-4 inches of water pretty easily, but you couldn't get past it. So we had an idea that we were just going to go somewhere we never fished, up at the very top, at the boundary, and work our way down. And the morning of the tournament, we both woke up and we were like, we have to get to that spot because that's where we caught our best fish, was that one spot where the river ended in that section of river.
Mm-hmm.
Well, luckily, we were able to put our boat in, and we only had about 100 yards to go to this spot.
Everybody had
10
miles.
Had to start at a boat ramp that wasn't on the reservation, so they had to go about 10 miles.
Yeah.
And we don't have the fastest boat. We knew that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, my boat cooks, but they're going 50-plus.
Oh, yeah.
And we put in, man. We took off from that. When they released us, we got in the boat. We hammered down. We got there, and it wasn't 3 minutes later, we had four boats turn that corner seeing us, and they didn't know what's
going on. One almost ran into us because they had, you know, they knew they were the first ones up that river.
Yep. Those times get hairy. The start of tournaments.
Yeah. And so we we don't bait and wait. That's what we call it when you sit and fish. You guys do a lot of that here. You know, you give at least 20 minutes per hole. We don't do that at home. We're 5 minutes.
Okay.
If
10 minutes.
Catch a if you're not getting a bite in 5 minutes, you move.
Okay.
Well, here we had to sit in the same, essentially the same spot for 8 hours, and it about killed us.
Oh, I bet. Oh, man. I bet.
and only catching, you know, I think we caught one fish an hour, maybe.
Oh, boy.
I mean,
that average, could make for a long day.
Yeah. And they were all 1 pound, 2 pounds.
Wow. Now, you talk about a lot of people in Montana are running jet boats, and you don't see that around here very often, but last year was a year here with the drought that we could have used jet boats. I believe three of us in the Red River Valley Catfish League in one night took out our lower units on the north end, including me. And so we didn't get to fish the north end the whole remainder of the year just because the water was so low. And now it's the opposite with water being high, and we got the Shields tournament coming up this weekend, and we're going to talk about that too. But now I know you guys fish Montana, and you come to North Dakota and Minnesota to fish tournaments. Is there any other states you hit for tournaments?
Well, I was on the road quite a bit in the past. I kind of had to take a break from the national circuit, which it wasn't a bad thing. I wanted to do it just because it was time to kind of reevaluate, adjust, and then move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric and I were going to hit the national tournament scene this year again. The issue was is that he is having an unexpected child that we're excited about it.
Oh, I didn't
excited.
Know that.
Oh, I'm excited with him, but that kind of puts a stop for a minute.
I'm guessing the other half said you need to take a step back.
Yeah, no, she's cool. No, she's all supportive, but there's a point where you gotta know when to step back.
Sure,
you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you know, I've told this to many people. Enjoy your kids while you can, because before you know it, they're going to be 35 years old. Right. And you got grandkids. Because it seemed like a blink of an eye for me with our kid. But so when it comes to fishing this tournament, the format is a little bit different at the Shields Boundary Battle. And I'm going to use some examples here. If you go to the Cats Incredible. It's a two-day tournament, 5 fish per day, which I'd rather fish a 3 fish per day tournament. But if you, well, let's face it, if you suck on day one, you probably don't have much of a chance on day two. But the cool thing about the Shields Boundary Battle is, and you know this firsthand, you can have a god-awful first day, and you can come back and do pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, you know, they pay both days.
Yeah.
You know, so I like the format. I think it keeps bringing people back up here to fish this tournament. And, you know, we got to give a shout out to Brad. He does a great job running this tournament and all our sponsors, Shields and everybody else. But it's such a good time. And now with this year, it's going to be a little different. If I remember right, we're going to be launching north on Saturday. Sunday, we will launch behind Cabela's, but we will be weighing in on the water because it's just the ramp is too iffy over there. You guys, you went off, I think you launched in Eastside yesterday. How was the ramp?
It's concrete. I mean, it's concrete up, but it's muddy. I mean, we didn't struggle, you know.
You have to understand where we come from. Most places, we don't have ramps.
Right.
We don't have concrete. We drive down the bank.
Yeah, but you guys have sand.
Right.
Well, we have mud.
Right. Regardless, I mean, we have muddy spots. Believe me, I've sank in the river. There's times where we have to go halfway out in the river, and the truck has sank to the frame.
Wow.
That's just a risk we have to take, and that's one of the reasons why we run jet motors, too. You know, our river's shallow.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, you don't need much water to drop a boat in.
No, you know, and you can skip off those sandbars and stuff not too bad, I would imagine,
yes
compared to if you got a prop. Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, compared to a prop, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, do the jet boats, they take more fuel?
I think it just depends on if it's a 2-stroke or 4-stroke.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, I'm 100% hammered down.
Oh, yeah. Wow. We got a text. You have an espresso machine for your boat?
Me? Not for my boat, no, but for camping, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I usually bring coffee out, though, on a early tournament. Oh, yeah. My jet boil coffee maker. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, I actually bought a Blackstone for my boat last year, and it's just perfect on my bait board. I just haven't got to use it yet to fish the tournament. Now, you know, I brought up Brad Durick's name. He is a catfish guide here, but dude had lost a lot of money this year. They had to cancel how many trips because the water was so high. How big of a hit is this for you not being able to guide?
I've had to cancel quite a few trips. You know, the only positive about it is I think as soon as the water goes down, my season will probably last longer because people do want to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So usually about mid-October I'm done, but I think with the high water, I'll end up making it up in the end.
Sure.
In the end run.
I want to see some more pictures. What do we got up there, Katie? A nice little one.
That was right when the ice broke.
Oh, okay.
Right when the ice broke off the river, yeah.
We fish, if we can, we fish year-round. Eric and I have been out there when it's 20 degrees, and we're fishing. And we have, a spot where they winter.
Uh-huh.
And we can go in there, and we can catch 50, 60 fish a day.
Yeah, it was like a two-hour trip, and we're like, what? I'm over it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It got tiring, yeah.
Wow. I've only been out once this year, and I wish I would have even boated one. that's the one cool thing about this tournament this weekend. Besides tonight, a lot of us won't have any time on the river. Not a lot of guys. You guys have probably got more time on the river than a lot of the guys that'll be in this tournament this weekend already.
Right. We need it.
Yeah.
You don't.
Well, we do too. Because I went out Sunday north for just a little while, and every year, especially a high water year, the river changes completely.
Oh, yeah.
There are things, there's structure, there's places that are completely different than they were last year. You know, you try to go to your old honey holes that you've got marked in your electronics and stuff, but they can change. Like, just like that.
Well, see, and your guys' changes are way different than ours. We get new channels. We get new channels cut.
Yeah, I suppose coming off the mountains and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you guys say change, we kind of look at it and we're like, oh, all right, you know. Like high water here, they say that this is pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably an average current for us at home.
Wow.
Yeah, like right now, I mean, when we what we consider flooding and high, you know, I mean, a 40-mile-an-hour boat's only going to go 20 because it's
sure
that high, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got more pictures?
There's a couple more.
Where's that one? Is that Montana?
Yeah, that's actually the same trip that Eric and I took.
Okay.
And, I mean, you catch fish like that all day long.
Yeah, yeah, know? Nice
it's,
fish.
It's amazing. We put in a lot of time on the water, so we get to follow fish around through the seasons, and that's what we try to replicate everywhere we go, whether it's here, North Carolina, Texas, it doesn't matter. You know, one of our biggest things this week is knowing the fish movement through the day, not just the fish movement from the season.
Right, right.
So we'll be going out pretty early to see where they're at in the morning compared to where they're at noon compared to where they're at 3,
mm-hmm.
rather than just hoping that they're where they were yesterday at noon. So that way, if there's a delay in the movement, because they're going to move regardless. They'll move shallow to feed or they'll move deep. So that's one of the things that we try to pattern is we want to pattern what are they doing at 5, what are they doing at 6, what are they doing at 8.
Mm-hmm.
So if we struggle at 5, we have an idea. I can't say that it always works. But we have an idea of what our next move is going to be.
Right, and a lot of people don't realize fishing tournaments isn't just fishing the tournament. If you want to be good and you want to have a chance to win, you got to pre-fish. Are you guys the kind of team, and I know we used to do this too for the Cats Incredible, do you fish like it's a simulated tournament? When you go out and pre-fish, do you, if the hours are 7 to 3, do you fish 7 to 3? Do you fish it like it would be a tournament? Or do you kind of just take it a little more leisurely?
A lot more leisurely than a tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
tournaments are pretty grind out. You know, I mean, when we're pre-fishing, we're not using the best bait.
Uh-huh.
We're not sitting out there catching. You know, we catch one good fish or have a couple good pull downs. You know, we'll get up and move. We're not out there catching 3-4 fish out of every spot. You
right,
know?
Right.
I mean, we're a lot of scanning. Lot of scanning and then, you know, just dipping the line basically.
Yeah, and you know, let's face it, a lot of the time spent tournament fishing, it's not fun.
No, I mean, it's not. No.
I have been out in the boat before with no umbrella and shorts and a t-shirt and I thought I was going to cook. I mean, where you're taking and covering up whatever you can find in your boat just to try to stay out of the sun. I've fished tournaments where there were, because you can't leave the boat during a tournament.
Yep.
But I've seen where guys were actually hanging off the side of their boats in the water just to try to cool off. So, I mean, it ain't all fun when you're out there fishing tournaments. You know, if you're lucky, you might be done 9, 10 o'clock in the morning and be in, and you can brag and drink your beers and watch guys come in. But it's not all fun.
Well, our tournaments over in Montana, we can cull.
Oh, know? Okay.
So it's like when I
You're
first,
never done.
Yeah, when I first came over here, it was weird that people were getting off at noon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what are they, you know, why wouldn't they keep fishing? But when you catch a fish here, you got to make that judgment call.
Yeah.
Keep them or let them go. There, we're always trying to upgrade
mm-hmm.
all day long. So it's It's a full 8 hours.
Yeah. We were last year. What we try to do is we set a number, an average number for your two big fish. This is what we need to have. We had that number met, and 10 minutes after we met that number, we caught a hog. It was like 22 and a half pounds, but we already had our fish in the live well.
Yeah.
It cost us probably about $1,500 to have to throw that fish back. But it's always the shoulda, woulda, coulda.
It always.
You take your picture because we all know about fish stories and things like that. But you take your picture, and we all get it. That's the way it is. And, you know, they base the tournaments on state rules. There's no culling in Minnesota or North Dakota. So, but that's the way it is. You know, do I keep it? Do I throw it? Sometimes I've seen where guys, especially when it comes to catching that damn slot fish, where guys will throw it back, no, I'm going to get a bigger one, and then you fish all day and you can't catch one.
Yep.
You can catch them 10, 12, 15 pounds all day long, but you can't catch that little 4, 5, 6 pounder. And I've seen where people have actually been in a good lead and lost the tournament that way. Do you guys draw the line on the slot fish? Or with us, we're pretty much, if it's a decent slot, I don't care. Throw it in the bucket. We know we got a fish then.
Oh, no, not me, man. If it's not 5 pounds, I mean, 3 pounds seems like it's pretty common for a slot fish here, and I tried to beat that 3 pound mark.
Yep.
Believe me, I've thrown the year that we won biggest slot fish, I threw a couple 3 pounders back, and it was getting heavier and heavier, you know, on are we going to catch another fish? And we ended up catching a 5.2, which ended up winning slot fish of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big slot. That's a nice slot.
Right. And this tournament is a numbers game. It's not a fish game.
Right.
You know, you have to have, I'd say, between 30 and 35 pounds just to know that you're going to be in the top 10
days. Oh, yeah.
So, like I was explaining to Eric, you know, you don't have to, you can keep a 10 pounder. Mm-hmm. You better have a 20 pounder fall
exactly.
Or a 17 with at least a 3.
Yeah.
So you got to, when you get a fish in the boat, you got to determine if that fish is going to be the fish that's going to put you in at the mark that you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Now with us, here's how the Shields Boundary Battle Tournament works. You're allowed 3 fish a day. 2 of them have to be over 24 inches. That's what they call the big fish. And then you have to have 1 slot fish between 12 and 24 inches. Cannot be any less or any more. And that's how they determine it. But I like the fact that we can get done early. I mean sometimes those 3 slot fish, I mean, they just kill a guy. You know, I'd rather just get the 1 myself. I love fishing, but I love sitting on the bank drinking beers too and watching guys come in.
In my opinion, it kind of takes away from it because having to keep fish alive all day is a challenge in itself.
It is, especially in hot weather.
Sitting in 110 degrees fishing for 8 hours is a challenge as well. So I see the benefit on both sides. I'd much rather sit there for 8 hours and fish than 4. I've checked in early on this tournament, and it's definitely a nail biter when you're sitting there staring at everybody bringing in their stuff.
Come in first place, and you start watching yourself drop. Do you guys, when it comes to, say, we got the 2 big fish, do you have a weight you're looking for? I know for us, in years past, we have to average at least 15 pounds fish is what we try to do.
I don't, because, again, you can get a 10, you can hang a 17, you can get a 3-pound slot fish here at 30 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it really depends on how the bite is. The first year of fish this, I think we caught a 10. It was a 10 pounder first thing in the morning. We threw it back and I regretted.
That's how my first time in Drayton was. We caught a 13 pounder and we're like, well, we need 15 pound fish. So we threw it back, hung a 17, couldn't catch another fish all day.
Yeah. Yeah. Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Right.
Welcome to the tournament world, right? Yeah. It's the same with league.
Always 1 fish away. It's always just that 1 fish away. Yeah.
Do we have another picture or is that it?
Well, I mean, I wasn't sure if you wanted that one in there.
Oh, yeah.
Of course you got to put that one in there.
Why not? I'm not scared. I'm here to have a good time. I mean, so far, it's been pretty.
I see this one.
Oh. I didn't put it in, but.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Did you like that?
Are you holding in a fart or something?
Yeah,
or what?
So I was told this morning to text Katie pictures, right?
Yeah.
About me being me. I texted her a picture and I said, hey, girl. Or I'm not a picture, just a text. And she didn't respond to me. So I sent her that picture just so she would be like, what the hell is happening?
Well, I warned her that she was going to get some pictures texted to her. We're going to take a quick little break here. Captain Eddie White and Eric Braunberger, a couple of Montana cat fishermen, are in the studio today. We're talking about the big tournament coming up this weekend, the Shields Boundary Battle Catfish Tournament. Right now, though, I want to talk a little bit about Executive Properties. You know, if you're looking to remodel or maybe do something new around your house. You've been waiting long enough. Get a hold of Executive Properties. They can get it done. They do everything. Decks, windows, siding, doors, concrete, cabinets. They do it all. They're going to take the time to listen to what you want done, and they're going to do it right. These guys have got a ton of experience, about 35 years and going right now, and I know these guys personally. They're great guys. And also, I tell you what, they've got a home that they want to get rid of. It's a townhome completely remodeled by your favorite professionals at Executive Properties Construction. Centrally located near Altru and UND, and it's not on one of those. It's and is not only on one of the largest lots in the community. It's also next to an open lot, so you get lots of extra space. If this might interest you, I know houses are hard to find right now. Get a hold of Lisa Spicer at 701-215-2796, or you can call Executive Properties 701-330-1273, or go to their website at executiveproperties.org. Back in the studio, we're talking catfishing, and one of the few things that I really like to talk about beside racing and hockey. Schedule for the rest of the year for you guys. Fuel. It's almost like talking when you talk to cat fishermen or any kind of fishermen that are on the road. It's almost like talking to a race car driver. They have to tweak their schedule because of costs. And costs this year, I mean, fuel alone. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Do you guys plan on doing a little more traveling this year? Are you going to just kind of keep it in this area or?
So far, this was kind of a surprise for us. We weren't expecting
Didn't expect you to come.
No, I mean, someone canceled last second, so mm-hmm. I just hopped in it.
Right, and when he hopped in it, I have nothing going on because I can't guide right now. So mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, let's go. We're going to do Drayton together. That's obviously in North Dakota. And then we have one at home in Sydney, which is about 3 hours from us.
Yep.
And then we have another one in North Dakota on the Missouri. Outside that, we haven't really entertained anything else in our schedule because of the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to kind of – his wife is awesome. Like, she would be the one to chase him off.
Yeah, get out of here. Go fishing.
Yeah, she would tell him, go do the tournament, you know. But with that being said, I understand Eric's idea of being a dad. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah. Sure.
The first month is the most important. You got to give mom a break.
Yeah.
I think after they start establishing what they're going to do, we'll talk about going on the road again.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys, the tournaments you have fished together, do you have a favorite body of water that you just absolutely love to fish? You just get super stoked to go visit and fish?
I personally don't because I fish so many places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, California, man, they got big flatheads down there. And Idaho has flatheads. A lot of people don't know that, you know. And then you come here and there's huge channels. And then I go to Sandy Cooper and there's huge blues. And so I don't really necessarily have a designated favorite place to go, but I try to go to the trophy fisheries.
Sure. How about you?
I mean, my tournaments are pretty much just Yellowstone, you know, just around there.
Yep. You're also, I've heard, have been up to the Boundary Waters canoe area a few times on canoe trips. Yep. What are your thoughts about that? It's a pretty cool place, isn't it?
It's big.
Mm-hmm.
It's big and open up there, you know.
And, you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, middle of nowhere.
Yeah, and people don't realize the Boundary Waters, airplanes can't even fly over the Boundary Waters unless they're on a search and rescue mission or something. But what was the longest trip you ever took up there?
The actual, like, out in the woods, it was 30 days.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
I think the longest one I ever took was, like, 6.
Yep. I mean, we would do big trips like that in Glacier, too, you know, where we hike hundreds of miles, you know, just with what's ever on our back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Any plans on going back to the Boundary Waters anytime soon?
Probably not. No,
me too. I'm too old. My knees are shot. You know, people think it's all just fun, but those canoe trips are a lot of work, man.
They are.
Portaging, I tell you what, the lightest thing you can carry on a portage is the boat you're in.
Yep.
Hands down, those packs.
Yeah.
Now, those are killers.
Yeah.
And you don't, you know, people don't realize you got to hang your food up in a tree. You got to get your fish guts and stuff away because you've got bears, you got timber wolves. But I tell you what, there's something to be said about sitting out on an island in the middle of nowhere and hearing a pack of timber wolves about 5 miles this way. And then you hear a pack of timber wolves about 3 miles that way. Going back and forth, and you're right in the middle of it. It's pretty surreal, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean that's all it is wildlife. That's all you hear. Period. Out there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Nothing else.
Nothing.
No people.
Nothing.
It's kind of nice.
Yep.
I actually tipped my canoe up there one time. It wasn't fun. What keeps you guys coming back to Grand Forks and East Grand Forks?
You do. Rob John himself. That's the only reason we come. Yep. I would say Paul, but I've been waiting for a text back from 2 years from him. He's like the worst stepdad I ever had. He said, I'm going to the store to get milk, and I never seen him again. I had to chase him down.
I thought maybe you guys kept coming back for the food.
Oh, that's great. Oh, those poppets.
We do got to give a shout out to your wife. Lori is awesome. She does a great job, and we appreciate every time we come out. She makes us a killer meal, man.
Yeah, and it's too bad. My mother-in-law, you know, passed away, but she used to look forward to you guys coming up here, too, and it's always fun, you know,
Grandma,
up here.
Grandma was the jam, man. I mean, people don't... The fun part of the backside of it, I guess, because I kind of told you the hard part of owning businesses and people don't see the background of that. But the positive of the backgrounds is we met you 5-6 years ago, I think, and we got to meet Grandma, you know, and Grandma would sit on the porch and drink till 5-6 in the morning. She'd be the last one up, and she'd be up at 7 o'clock ready to party again. And, you know, it was a trip the other morning when we got here. We were, I don't know if I should talk about this or not, but I'm gonna. But we got here and we were talking about Grandma.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, I mean, there's three of us that could sit right here and you could tell us that we were high. I promise you we weren't. I don't even smoke marijuanas anymore. And Rob had just said something about her and a candle tipped over.
Yeah.
In her spot.
Yeah, we all seen
where, it. Where she sits.
Yeah, we all seen it.
And it's like... What caused that?
I don't know if I have it any other way, though. You know, Grandma was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big time.
Absolutely. But I do know that is one of our spare bedrooms now, and neither one of you will sleep in there.
We will not. I'm good. I'm good on that.
I think we got another picture here. Show you guys what a couple of real fish look like.
Whoa.
How's that?
Whoa.
This was from...
Don't think we don't catch fish like that. We just don't catch them as often.
This was actually Memorial Day a couple of years ago.
I could tell by the size of your head it was a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Mine was 22 and a half, and the one Brad has was 23, and that was a double. And we were arguing who was going to get the net first to net their fish. But, if you could only do that during a tournament, how cool would that be? I mean, right there you got 45 pounds of fish, you know, pushing 50 pounds. That is something. What's the biggest fish you've ever caught? I don't care what species.
Halibut.
Oh, yeah, sure.
70, 80 pounds, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Do you go up and fish a lot up there?
No. So last fall, my great uncle lives up there. He's like 81 or 82. And he just, you know, he pretty much all exclusive. All I had to do is get up there, you know. And so we took out all of his buddies' boats. I mean, we caught fish until we couldn't catch fish anymore. You know, it was a whole lot better than renting a charter and going out for one day. We went out every single day for 2 weeks.
Wow. I've been lucky enough. I salmon fished one time out of Ketchikan. Had a blast. I never did get to go halibut fishing, but it's on my bucket list. In fact, I plan on spending my falls up there when I retire.
Right,
yeah.
So when we went up there, they closed down the king fishing and the silver fishing, but so we could only snag them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's something else. I mean, you got a single hook.
Yep.
That's all you can use is one single hook.
And you snag a fish, how big?
Oh, I bet they're 15, you know, 20 pounds.
You snag a 15, 20-pound fish, that's like fighting about a 60-pounder, isn't it?
Yeah, yep.
How about you? Biggest fish you've ever caught? I don't care what species.
Blue cat in the James River is 60 pounds.
60 pounds. 60. Wow. I just couldn't imagine.
Yeah. We used 20-pound channel cats for bait when I caught that.
Yeah, right. What'd you cut it up with, a chainsaw?
No, we used it whole. You know, we let it out there live.
Now, I know you don't have a favorite body of water, but if you're going to target a fish, say channel catfish, where would you prefer to fish?
You know, I'll be completely honest with you. Clear Lake, California.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the Red River. It's full of just... huge fish.
It is, huh?
It's now, amazing.
What's the difference between, because we're river fishermen, but I'm sure you guys have done lakes and reservoirs, things like that. But what's the difference when it comes to fishing a river compared to a lake or a reservoir?
If you're sitting in a lake, you got to be pretty hard up on the fish.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of dragging. A lot of people don't know what, in our area, don't know what dragging is, but you're trolling essentially like you would for walleye, but you're trolling for catfish. And that's one of the best ways to find fish, is to do that, you know. And if dragging ain't working, then you do got to do the bait and weight game. But dragging's probably 90% of lake fishing anymore.
Yeah. And you know, you see these tutorials on YouTube or whatever, Google, on how to run electronics, and they show you, well, no, you can see the fish just sitting there perfectly. It doesn't work that way with catfishing, because these fish are laying on the bottom, and you got to know how to read your electronics and use them also. It's a little different, isn't it?
Well, I think it's a whole lot different on a lake versus a river, because a lake, when you're scanning, I mean, you can see fish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can also stop.
Right.
And fish that fish. On a river, By the time you notice it, by the time you want to come up and anchor and all that, I mean, you're 100 yards away, 100 feet, sure. You know? I mean, mm-hmm. It's not that easy. But, I mean, it gives you a great idea. I mean, a lot of times we scan for structure, you know, not right. necessarily looking for fish.
Yep. Paul, the producer's joining in.
Yeah, I got a question because you were talking about catching, what was it, halibut?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I was in Florida, I didn't personally fish, but they were catching like barracuda,
right?
Which was just crazy. I mean, the things were like prehistoric. But because you guys are like such avid fishermen and, you know, you're hitting up all the rivers and all the stuff around here, do you ever have like a desire to get on the big open water and catch like, you know, these like sharks and barracuda and that kind of stuff?
I grew up right outside of Los Angeles, so I grew up saltwater fishing. And I don't know, man, I prefer inland fishing personally. I really do.
Because, I mean, because you get those like really, really big fish in the ocean. That's why I kind of curious about it.
But I mean, at that same time, you're using a really, really big pole and a really, really big reel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you compare it to a, you know, a 20, 25 pound channel cat with a medium action rod, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's just as exhilarating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, just as exhilarating as catching that one big fish or a whole bunch of fish that fight, you know.
And not to mention, those rods wouldn't even fit in the box of my pickup.
Right. You know, yeah.
I have a hard enough time with the catfish rods, but I mean.
I would think that being on like that open water too would be not as mm-hmm. enjoyable as, you know, seeing like the scenery and stuff that you would see on like a, you know, a channel.
Why don't you go do it and report back, Paul?
Because I don't fish.
You know, one thing that a show that has piqued my interest is that Wicked Tuna.
Yeah.
I always thought it would be really cool. The guide that actually took me out in Alaska, he went and fished during the winter when the fishing season was done up there. He went to the Outer Banks. He was one of those guys that tuna fished in the Outer Banks down in the Carolinas in the winter time. But I always thought it'd be cool to be able to go catch a fish. And if you could catch a 700-pound fish and they pay you $25 a pound if you're lucky, that can be a good way to make some money too.
Yeah, that's a 4 or 5 hour fight, though. I mean, they definitely earn their money.
Yeah, and not to mention, you know, a 2 day steam to get out to where you want to fish, and you talk about fuel and food and bait and all of that stuff.
On a $500,000 boat.
Yeah.
With six guys to work that boat, you know.
Could you imagine losing a $20,000 fish at the boat?
Oh, boy.
I don't think I could do
that. No.
Not to mention the ocean is scary as shit.
Yeah.
If you don't fish, how do you know?
Hey, you know what? I took him out catfishing. He's done well.
Has he?
Yep.
Just not his thing, huh?
First time he went out with me, he'd never even been on the river, and he grew up here.
Oh.
Born and raised here, but we went out on the river, and you know, that's the cool thing. You know, you drive through these cities, whether it be in Montana, Minnesota, North Dakota, and you see a river going through it. You usually only see it from the bridge you're going over, but how cool is it? I mean, even I'm going to use Grand Forks and East Grand Forks for an example. I mean, we see deer, we see river otters, beavers, coyotes, you see all kinds of critters, and they're all right in town, and a lot of people don't realize. You know, me being president of the Catfish Club, yeah, it's about catfishing, but it's also about promoting the fishery and the waterway. But a lot of people that live in these cities that have a river going through them, they don't realize the gem that they have got going through there, do they?
A lot of people don't, no. You know, I'll tell you this, though, driving through North Dakota at night's the best thing you can do until you get here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, there's times we take advantage of Montana. Montana's beautiful. Yellowstone River's a beautiful place. We have cliff walls, and there's pine trees, and there's eagles everywhere, and there's hawks, and, I mean, wildlife like you're talking about all over the river. And sometimes you forget to sit there and look. And
yeah.
Realize that you're in God's country. This is one of the most beautiful places in the world.
Yeah. And you know, I see boats that'll be sitting in the driveway all summer long. They don't move. And you'll ask them, why don't you ever go fishing? Well, geez, you know how much it costs to haul off to Devil's Lake or Lake of the Woods or wherever. Well, why don't you put your boat on the river? I wouldn't put my boat in that damn river. It's like, why? It's all dirty and blah, blah. The Red River is one of the least polluted rivers in North America. The reason it's dirty is because we live in the Red River Valley, the best soil on earth.
Yeah.
It's mud. It's dirt. It's just soil. It's not, I mean, yeah, it's a kind of a pain in the ass to pressure wash the boat once in a while. But a lot of people just don't realize how cool they've got it right in their backyard. And I just think there's not enough people that take advantage of it.
I'm assuming when you're cruising down the, you know, the rivers in Montana, like, you know, every other day you're like, hey, Kevin Costner.
I don't get it.
Are you talking Dances with Wolves?
No, isn't that Yellowstone?
The Yellowstone movie, yeah.
Oh, Yellowstone actually kind of killed the momentum of Montana because it's nothing like the show.
Yeah.
Nothing like it?
No, we're not out feuding with the natives. And
yeah, yeah.
I watched that show. I watched about three of them, and I went, this is ridiculous. This is all Hollywood, man. You know, I get it. The chicks like that one ripped guy with the beard.
Oh, sure.
Women don't watch TV for the storyline. If that was the case, Thor would have failed. You know?
Oh, it's Jason Momoa.
Right. I mean, Brad Pitt was hot in the 90s. You don't hear about Brad Pitt now, but if he came out with a movie, there they'd be.
Yeah. Well, Tom Cruise is still doing it.
I can't believe that. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so you guys, both of you, are you coming back up for Drayton?
Yes, sir.
And you guys going to fish together for Drayton?
Yep.
Okay, that's going to be a great one. You guys don't do the Cats Incredible?
No.
I haven't fished that one in a few years either. But you will be at League tonight. It's going to be a first time fishing for a lot of people here in Grand Forks, the regulars. This could be a good night. It could be a fun night. So anybody, if you're in town and you're planning on fishing the Shields Boundary Battle this weekend, make sure you come down. We'll be on the north end tonight. We're going to go grab some grub, and you guys going to go pre-fish and get a little bit again this afternoon?
Oh, yeah, maybe. Don't even tell Rob. He's still a competitor. You got to remember that part of it. You know, I mean, we could tell Paul everything we want. He's not going to go fishing.
Right.
I'm going to tell you this.
Or call you back.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this right now. I got eyes on the river everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I'll find out.
Oh, yeah.
I'll find out.
I bet.
No, I don't. Anything you want to say before we cut loose here, bud?
Thank you, as always, for having us. Paul, Katie, nice to meet you. Rob, John, for the hospitality. Lori, for the hospitality. All of our sponsors. I'd say Aaron, name them off. I got to give a shout-out to my business partner, Derek Weber. He's part of Warrior Cat Rods. We bought it about a year and a half ago. It's been a good business to buy. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just slowly establishing what could be in the future. So outside that, you know, our sponsors, I want to say thank you to. We have quite a few of them. It'd probably take me 3 days to sit here and list them. So we'll just say that. And outside, no, I think I'm about done, man.
Yeah, just thanks for everything, Rob. You're the man.
Hey, thanks. Now you guys all know my real name.
It's Rob, John.
Jerseys are cool, by the way. I love my jersey. I can't wait to... We get more sponsors. Maybe next year we can get another one.
My favorite part's just sliming them out for the first time, you know?
Yeah, getting them broke in.
Yeah,
getting them broke in. Do you guys carry extra with you, or do you only have one?
We have one, but you have a washing machine. So
yeah, there you go. Yep. We got a garden hose. you guys, thanks for coming in. Let me do this couple of things here before we bail out of here. But Eddie White and Eric Braunberger, a couple of Montana fishermen, the Big Shields Boundary Battle Catfish Tournament. It'll be on the north side. That's by the dam on Saturday. Fishing hours, I believe, are 7 to 3. And then on Sunday, you'll be able to go down. They've got the stage already down at Lefebvre Park behind Cabela's. So if you want to see some fish, we're going to be weighing in on the water because of the way the ramp is right now, and it's a little bit muddy. But tell you what, you want to go see some really cool catfishermen and teams and fish, check it out this weekend. Want to give a big shout-out to Moe's Cafe for bringing you the show today. They're right here in the Grand Cities Mall. What a great sit-down, takeout diner. They've got breakfast and lunch daily and weekends. They've got gluten-free choices. If you're in the military, you're going to get a 15% discount. They're open Tuesday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. and weekends from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. They're at Suite 31 here in the Grand Cities Mall. I'm telling you, man, this is not your ordinary food. And Moe's is also looking to hire some servers and cooks. Stop in to find out more. You can check out their Facebook page. Bring a friend. What a great place to eat and work. Moe's Cafe in the Grand Cities Mall. Well, Dirty Thursday tomorrow with the Bullring Boys, brought to you by River City Speedway. We are hoping, and I'm guessing he's going to be here. We're hoping to get Mike Balkan in the studio tomorrow. I keep your fingers crossed, all right? I can't wait. This will be an awesome show. Big Screens and TV Streams is coming up at 2 o'clock today. Enjoy the show, everybody, and enjoy the rest of your day. And remember to like, share, tag, and follow us. Hit that notification bell on your smartphone. Become a patron on Podbean, too. You can win some pretty cool stuff. Hey, Grand Forks, groovy place. Grand Forks' best source is giving it an identity again.